Hi, my name is David. I serve as a pastoral associate here at Broad Street Ministry. If you are visiting with us for the first time, if this is your first Sunday here at Broad Street, I want to let you know that today was supposed to be, you were supposed to get a really amazing sermon from Andy Greenhow. And Andy Greenhow and I look kind of similar, except we don't look at all similar. It drives him crazy that people can confuse us all the time. The only thing that is the same are the glasses. I will admit that he and I own the same pair of glasses from Zenni Optical. Other than that, we're completely different. But today, I'm just pretend I'm Andy, because Andy is out with pink eye today. And he cares so much about this community that he stayed home, because he doesn't want any of you to have to suffer like he's suffering right now. It was everything in his power to get him not to come here, because he wanted to. He wanted to be here with all of you. But that's kind of what community does. That's a part of church, is sometimes we encourage you and tell you to go for it and to risk something that you don't think is possible. And sometimes we say, hey, bro, you're not coming in today. We've got it. Stay far away. We love you. So I want to pray for Andy. The other thing that I want to do, though, is let you know that today is, in the life of Broad Street Ministry, one of the high holidays of the church. It's known as Doubt Sunday. Doubt Sunday is when we read this story about Thomas, who is known as Doubting Thomas. And in some churches, faith is what we talk about a lot, but there's another side of faith, which is doubt. Doubt is one of the most important parts of faith, and it's not something that we talk a lot about. And so Doubting Thomas is actually, in this church, one of the most important saints of the church, because doubt is just as important as faith and is an integral part of it. So whoever you are today, if you're full of faith or doubt, if you're full of hope or sorrow, if you look at our world and what's going on in our cities around the country and you don't see any chance of redemption, or you look around and you see God doing surprising things, know you're in the right place. And know that this is the place for you. So with that, let us pray. Loving and gracious God, you who set the universe spinning, the galaxies on their paths, you who spoke over the chaotic waters and brought order to a chaos that seemed that it would overtake the light. God, speak to us in this, our time, in this place, in this city of Philadelphia. Speak to us in silence, in us every voice but your own. Strengthen us with your grace and love, and send us out into the world to love as you have loved us. Amen. So over the past few months, some of you have had the opportunity to get to know my beloved. His name is R. Eric Thomas, and he knows that I'm about to tell a story about him. He's sitting right here. Welcome to dating a pastor. he's warned. He knew this was coming. I found out this morning that I was going to be preaching today, and this is the beauty of dating a storyteller, because over coffee, I was able to say, Doubting Thomas, any stories, go, what do you got? And we both grew up in the church, and part of growing up in the church is you hear the same stories over and over and over again, and you develop stories and memories from past sermons. But this was a really funny response to the story of Doubting Thomas. I said, you know, what do you know? And Eric got really surprised or excited, that look of, hey, I've got a story. And then he got really, really sullen and kind of sat down and crossed his arms. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, so theological trauma coming here. What is this? What is this story? And he said, well, you know, Eric's last name is Thomas. And he went to a private Christian school. And at private Christian schools, you learn about different characters in the Bible. And you talk about it, and, you know, when they started talking about Doubting Thomas, everyone's like, oh, your name is Thomas! Oh, you're Doubting Thomas! And Eric was really not okay with this. There are a lot of names that are great in the Bible to be associated with, and Doubting Thomas is like Judas and like Doubting Tom, right? Like, this is not where you want to be. This is not the company you want to keep. And Eric was so upset, and it got even worse because the teacher got in on it and started calling him Doubting Thomas, like layers of trauma, right? And so he goes home and, you know, bursts into his house, and, you know, Mama Thomas is there and says, what's wrong? Like, oh gosh, like, how are the kids picking on him? What's going on? And the response was, well, they're saying that I'm Doubting Thomas, but I believe, I have faith. Why are they calling me Doubting Thomas? I don't know when it happened in the church that we decided that Thomas and Doubt were church enemy number one, but somewhere along the line, we did. And it's really odd, because when we look at this text and we look at this story, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not something that I really find a lot of support for in the text. Because doubt is what tears down the false idols. Doubt is that voice in the back of our mind that says that there's something about the world or God or ourselves that we're being told that's wrong. Doubt's a really important voice of all of the voices that we hear, and there's a lot of really important doubters in Scripture. So that's why I love this Sunday, Doubt Sunday, because it's really important to be reminded after Easter the importance of doubt. In this story, Thomas has three things that are really, really important. He has faith, he has doubt, and eventually he has belief. And all three of those are really, really important. We can learn a lot from the way that Thomas and the disciples interact with doubt in this story, because Thomas's faith led him to doubt. And that doubt led him to realize who Jesus was. And I think that same path is open to us. So Thomas teaches us how to be faithful and how to doubt. Thomas is really a pro when you look at the stories of the Gospels at being faithful. He's a really good disciple. He decides that he's going to follow Jesus. He does his best at learning what the kingdom of God is going to be like, and he sticks along for the ride when the going gets tough. He's with the disciples at the end when Jesus dies, and he's there with them in the room most of the time after Jesus has been crucified. He misses this one moment, but he comes back. Thomas is really good at sticking around. But Thomas, along with being an example of how to be faithful, he's also kind of a pro at doubt. Because after the resurrection, Thomas starts to have these doubts that Jesus has overcome the powers of oppression and empire and capital. He starts to have these doubts that what the disciples are saying is true. Because Thomas knows that there's a little bit more to the story, and he's not going to buy in until he gets the full picture. What I love about Thomas, though, is he's still faithful in his doubt. He doesn't bounce when he has questions. Instead, he sticks around and he's open to the surprising movements of the living God to transform his understanding. Thomas is a really great example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, because Jesus, after all, questioned a lot. He had a lot of questions and a lot of doubts about people's understanding of who God was. So Thomas, I think, is actually a really good follower of Jesus because of his doubt. The other people, though, that I think we can learn a lot from in the story outside of Thomas are the disciples. Because the way that the disciples interact with Thomas is really, I think, important for us as a faith community. Thomas declares what he doubts about the church. He has his questions about the resurrection, but the disciples let him continue to hang out. He's still there. There's never a moment where they kick him out. They never question, are you really with us or not? They don't shame him. He's still fully a member of the community. He's got a spot at the table. So Eric and I both grew up as golden sons of the church, but now we're adults. And we've had to grow and doubt and question a lot. We grew up as children of the church, and so faith is deep in our bones, but it's not exactly the same as it was when we were children. We have the faith of Thomas, of disciples who have questioned and have looked at what God is doing in the world and been transformed, because we've stuck around and we've asked the hard questions. But the questions are hard, and for me, the questions got really difficult in high school. That's when doubt became a really big part of my life in a way that it hadn't been before. I graduated from high school in 2004, which means that the terrorist attacks of September 11th were when I was a sophomore in high school. My junior year of high school is when the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan began. And I grew up in a town that was very, very conservative and had a lot of ties to the military. And my doubt kind of reached a fever pitch when I looked at the pacifist lessons of Jesus and what he was about, and then heard the preaching that was going on in my city. There was a disconnect between the Prince of Peace that I knew about from Scripture and the God of Wrath I saw being proclaimed in my city. And this wasn't made any better when I started to study history in a really serious way. I don't know how many of you took AP European History in high school, but if you want to get really angry about the church, there's no better class. It doesn't take long for, you know, someone who's grown up in the church their entire lives to say, I've got some really serious questions about this. I had this moment, which I think a lot of you have had, where I realized I'm really cool with this guy Jesus, but his followers I've got a lot of questions for. And that doubt was really hard. Except I grew up in a church that was really about doubt. They were okay with faith and doubt because they realized that there was something happening as I was growing up. I was developing, and so my faith was developing, and these questions weren't to be feared. They were to be explored. And the people in my community said, well, what do you have questions about? And then they would connect me with other people or different communities. I learned about I was really interested in a lot of issues around social justice, and so they connected me with a group. There's a magazine called Sojourners. And Sojourners is really active in a lot of different social justice issues around farming communities and around migrant farm workers. And so I learned about that. And I realized that these were people that were motivated by their faith to protest and to organize in ways to bring justice to farm workers in Florida. I was part of a boycott of Taco Bell, which for a high schooler is like, that's a big sacrifice. It was really hard. I was really glad. Like, I was glad that we got justice for the tomato pickers in Florida. I was also really happy that I could have Burrito Supreme again. We all won. But I found these communities of faith that my church would plug me in with, of like, you have questions about this. Here are the other people who have those same questions, and here are their responses. As I was learning about history, you know, I would be pointed to different historical figures. One of the really important ones for me was learning about Philadelphia. I grew up in Oregon, but I learned about Philadelphia and the Quakers here that were part of the abolitionist movement. And what I found so amazing is that one of the largest groups of people to profit from slavery were the Quakers. Made huge amounts of money, huge amounts of money, and then started to have this nagging doubt and question about what they were doing. And there was this transformation that took place where God did something in their lives and something changed. And I realized that, you know, these doubts and these questions, if we follow them, God can be speaking through them. And that's what I learned with my church, was that if you have these doubts, you need to listen to them. I eventually became a religious studies major in undergrad, and so you want to talk about doubt, I went to the least religious school in the country, Lewis and Clark College in Portland. Our only competitor for being least religious is Reed College, which is right across the river, so that's always like a fun game. I jumped into biblical scholarship and I loved it because there was all these questions and all these doubts. But what I found is as I learned more and more, as I went further and further down the rabbit hole, I found God in more and more surprising ways. And what I found was that there were more and more places where God was popping up in surprising ways in these texts from 2,000 years ago. I eventually spent some time, I moved to a community in Scotland, the Iona community, and they work for radical justice in some really powerful and cool ways. And I just kept finding more places to go, but it always started with doubt and with a question. Eventually, I found peace as well with my sexual identity and my faith. And if you're interested in that story, please feel free to ask me about that. That one took a while as well. But there was always this doubt in the back of my mind of what I knew of God's love and God's grace was somehow limited. I hadn't been told the whole story. And that's why I think Thomas is such an important character, and the disciples and apostles who are around him are so important, because while Thomas is figuring it out, they're with him. They don't kick him out. They provide a space for him. Sometimes we're going to be Thomas, and we're going to have to hold out for what the good news is for us. Friends, having faith means sticking around and being a part of the community, especially when you're full of questions. Part of that's for you. The bigger part is for the rest of us. We need your questions and your doubts. We need your quest for what Jesus' resurrection means for your life, because we don't get the full picture without you. Doubt is an essential part of our faith, and it's vital to moving to a place of believing truth, of knowing in our bones the truth that we belong to God, that God loves us, and that nothing in life or death can get in the way of God's love. For us to really understand what happened in the resurrection, we can't simply say it happened and that we believe it. There has to be room in our community of faith for those who simply cannot imagine news that good. So when Eric and I have children, if they ever get called doubting Thomases, I'll encourage them. I'll tell them how important it is to learn to doubt and to question. Because doubt in our lives has opened us up to surprises. Because the living God, the God of the resurrection, is the master of surprise, of opening up to us a future beyond our wildest dreams. Our questions and our doubts can be the very paths that lead us, like Thomas and the disciples, to discover more fully what the good news is for us. So I wonder what your doubts are. I wonder where you have faith in a new world or a different version of society, and what causes you to doubt. Don't silence those questions or those doubts. There's something powerful there. But do let us know what it is. Another Thomas of the church, Thomas Aquinas, one of the greatest poets and theologians, wrote one of my favorite poems about doubt. He writes, "Sometimes we think what we are saying about God is true, when in fact it is not. It would seem of value to differentiate between what is God's nature and what is false about love." Aquinas writes, "I have come to learn that the truth never harms or frightens. I have come to learn that God's compassion and light can never be limited. Thus, any God who would condemn is not a God at all, but some disturbing image in the mind of a child we best ignore until we can cure the dark." Friends, this is a community that is curing the darkness of blind, unyielding certainty and replacing it with lives of faith. Lives that move us from doubt to belief through the encountering of the living God. If you're full of doubt, this is your place. And if you're full of faith, listen to the faithful questions of those who doubt around you. You might be surprised to encounter the very presence of the risen Lord in those questions. Amen.